Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Wow, this is nice to see children of all ages. You know, I thought of Sunday school, well, am I addressing to 5-year-old, 15-year-old, 50-year-old? I think we're all children, aren't we? I don't know how many here who are over 50 think they're still like a little kid. So we can all, oh, I see hands up there. So let's have this for all, isn't it? The gospel of God's grace is for all ages, whether you're young or old. We all need a Savior. So let's begin our Sunday school with a hymn. Anyone would like to start off by giving out a hymn? No one? No favorite hymns? Yes? Jesus loves me. That's hymn number 40. I like that one. Jesus loves me. So can we sing just the first and the last verse? Then we can sing more hymn. Is that okay? All right. We'll sing the first verse and the last verse of hymn number 40 on our hymn sheet. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That's nice. Anyone else have another hymn? Oh, I see hands popping up. Okay. Why is the ocean? Is that in here? Well, I suppose we know that. Let's sing that, eh? Why is the ocean high as the heavens above? Let's have another one. Okay. 41. Hymn number 41. Okay, let's sing the first and last verse of this as well. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring, singing glory, glory. Let's close our eyes for a minute. We'll bow in prayer. We'll ask the Lord Jesus to help us. Blessed God and our loving Father, we give thanks once again this morning for the Sunday school. We thank thee that thou hast set aside this little time for us to tell forth the story of thy love, the story that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And surely many of us here can say he came into the world to save me. This morning we look to thee. If there be any boys, girls, teenagers, older ones too, who are still lost in sin, we do pray that thou would exercise their heart and conscience, that thou would help them to repent while there's still time. So we look to thee now, and we commit this time into thine hand, looking for help, looking for blessings for us too, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I saw many hands up, so I would presume you want to give our hymn, right? What number would you like?
16.
Hymn number 16. Okay. Oh, that's a nice one too. Whosoever heareth shall the sound, send the blessed tidings all the world around. Spread the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will, send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis a loving Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever cometh must not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true way, the only living way. Whosoever will may come. I'm going to stop singing just for a minute. I know some of you have spent all week learning the verses. How many learned the verses? Wow. You know, I share at Sunday school at the last conference, I told people, you know, I used to be so afraid to stand up to say the verses. I would sit there and go, oh no, there are three more, then it's my turn. I need you to shake. I used to feel, oh, I worry. I was so afraid too. So I can feel if you don't want to say it. So don't feel you have to, but you can say that to your mom and dad, can't you? But for those that I know, some of you would love to burst it out. And just like we sang, whosoever will shout that sound, that blessed gospel news, that's what the verses are. So now, before we say the verses, I want to tell you a little story behind that verse. Let me read the verse first. I hope I'm right. It's John chapter 7:37. Am I correct in saying that?
Yes.
Okay. Now, it says, in the last day, by the way, I'm doing this, so for those that haven't learned it, I know some of you can learn very quickly as we're doing this, right? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, here's the verse, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. I know some of you learned the latter part. If any man thirst, come. Let him come unto me and drink. You know, it's very interesting, and perhaps this part I'm addressing to some of the older one as well. You know, it's just the last day of the feast. Why is it the last day? There was a feast going on. And you know, the Word of God always tells us stories. We just don't read it carefully at times. Why was it the last day? Because a feast went on that week. And if you read the beginning of the chapter in verse 2, it says, the Jews' feast, it says, of the Feast of the Tabernacles. We know that was about the Feast of the Tabernacle. We know that from Leviticus there were seven feasts of Jehovah, and this is the one that on the tenth day of that month, of that seventh month, on the tenth day, they are to have a Feast of the Tabernacle. Now, the reason I tell you that is, it's very interesting that the Word of God tells us that, because the Feast of the Tabernacle is a picture of the Lord Jesus. He's going to come and reign, isn't it, in that great day. So we find in that same book, in verse 14, it says, "Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught." Wait a minute, did Jesus go to that feast? No, he didn't go to the feast. Why is that? Because he is the true Feast of Tabernacle they were looking forward to. He didn't go until the middle of the feast. Now, here's something even interesting. And some of you may know the Jewish custom better than I do. Those 7 days of celebration, each day they read a different psalm. On the fourth day, now if some of you have your Bible there, can turn with me to Psalm 94. This is what they were to read for that day. Every day, a psalm. Psalm 105, Psalm 29, Psalm 50. And on the fourth day, they were to read Psalm 94. I won't read the whole psalm. But this is how the psalm begins. "O Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth." Wow. Isn't that interesting? The Lord didn't go. In the middle, he taught them, because that's when they were to read that God is going to seek vengeance on his people. Then it says, on the last day of the feast, he went. Now, on the last day, they were to read Psalm 82. Now, let's see what Psalm 82 have to say. The 82nd Psalm. 82nd Psalm says, "God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judgeth among the gods." Now, can you picture this? Here is the middle of the, in the, toward the end of the feast. Oh, by the way, their feast is, they do a lot of things, right? At the last day of the feast, they have a special celebration. They have people break into three companies. So as we were saying, we're three groups of people, will do three different things. So one group, the priest will go down to the altar to get preparation. And then another group will go down and cut down palm trees, willow, and myrtle, and they use it to carry them, right? Actually, they have to do it just right. They have to carry the palm in the right hand, am I right? And on the left hand, goodly fruit, a fruit from the goodly trees. And then the third party is interesting. They go down with the priest to the pool of Siloam with a pitcher. Go down to the pitcher, the pool, they fill the pitcher up, they come back to the altar, and there, one priest on the east side would pour a glass of wine on the east side of the altar, the other one would take the water from the pool of Siloam and pour it to the west side of the altar. That's the Jewish tradition. They would chant, and then they would be quiet for just a moment. Now, can you picture this? They were waving these palms. They were chanting. And then there was quiet. And then we hear this. In the great day of the... Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Oh, isn't that solemn for the Israelite of old to realize that their God and Savior was standing in front of them. The Feast of Tabernacle that they're celebrating is truly before them, but yet they want to reject this Savior. Okay, now it's easy to learn the verse, isn't it? So Jesus stood and spoke to them, and he said, let me read that verse again. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come. Let him come unto me and drink." Who would like to say that verse for us? I'm going to start back here. See his hand go up first. Oh, just a minute now. I hope I brought enough of these. I brought a whole bunch of stuff. I don't know if this is right. Down here in the United States, you folks have stuff called dum-dums. You get dum-dums for reward by saying it. You know, it's funny, at the last conference afterwards, someone brought me stuff it's called Smarties. He said, that's a lot better than dum-dums. But I don't have any Smarties with me, so if you would like, you can have a dum-dum. Go ahead.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37.
Very good. Would you like a dum-dum? Can you be my helper? Carry this and give it to whoever say the verse next. Go ahead. You did have your hand up, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If any man stood, let him...
Okay, you can read it. Look at it.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37.
Very good. Are you going to say it too?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If any man is thirsty, shall come to me and drink.
That's close. John 7?
John 17.
37. That's very good. Now, I'll come back around this way. Anyone else here would like to say the verse?
If any man thirst, he shall come unto me and drink.
That's pretty close. Okay. Are you going to say it too? Okay.
If any man
thirst. John. Good. Very good. Okay. You have to say the whole part.
Okay.
If
any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink.
Okay. John?
John 7:37.
Very good.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37.
Would you like to say it?
If any man
thirst,
he shall come unto me. John 7:37.
Very good. I know you've been having your hands up many times.
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37.
Okay. And?
If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. John 7:37.
Very good. Did I miss anyone? Oh, I missed. Okay.
John 7:37. Any man thirst, come and drink, and 7 thirst.
37. Okay. Are you going to say it? No? Okay. Well, thank you. That's a nice verse to learn, isn't it? Any man thirst. All right, let's have another hymn. Then perhaps we'll tell some story after that. One hand. Okay, Emma. The foolish man. The wise man, is that in here? I'm not sure if that's in this one here. Okay, we'll just sing the first stanza. Or maybe, well, I guess we can sing both. The wise man built his house upon the rock.
The wise man built his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up, and the house on the rock stood firm. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. judgment comes. You will be safe when the judgment comes if you build on Christ the rock.
Okay. I want to share with you a story. You know, yesterday we were reminded how sometimes we're afraid to tell people we're Christians. Sometimes we walk differently, right? Depending on where we are. And a verse came to me, actually. This has been on my heart for a few weeks now. Let's turn with me to Titus. How many of you can find the book Titus? It's right after Timothy. Timothy, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and then Titus. We're just going to read a couple of verses. Verse 13 and verse 14. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Now that's a long verse. There's so much in here to tell us to look forward to that blessed hope. We as redeemed ones have that blessed hope before us, don't we? Now, my thought this morning is rather the latter part of the verse. And others can perhaps speak on the rest later on with you. We do know that the Lord Jesus gave himself for us. He died that we may live. He shed his blood on the cross. That's the gospel, isn't it? And that by believing, we are saved. But here's the portion that I find sometimes, perhaps I don't think of it much. It says, who gave himself for us, that he may redeem us from all iniquity or from all lawlessness and purify unto himself, here's what I was thinking of, a peculiar people. Do you know anybody that's peculiar? Look to the person to your left of you. Does he look peculiar? He or she look peculiar? Now look at the person to the right of you. Does that person look peculiar to you? I think we are, because God said we are peculiar people to him. Would you like to be peculiar? Why is it that we say someone's peculiar? You know, we come to a conference like this, and I know many will go buy new dresses, get their hair done so that they look nice, but you don't find them, they want to stand out, but yet you don't find them dressed differently so that they'll stand out. We want to be different, but yet the same. That's not peculiar, is it? How many of you, and some of you have seen this a few weeks ago, will come to a conference and go, you know, I don't know about that. I think I'm going to wear a helmet instead of a hat. Now, do I look any peculiar than the rest of you? Am I out of place now? What if this is still not enough? I want to be more peculiar. So I took the liberty to wear something different. I'm going to take my shirt off so you can see that. I dress, by the way, remember Mr. Bremen did that a few years ago. Remember that? He took his off and we saw his T-shirt. So I thought, no, I'm not going to wear a T-shirt. I want to look more peculiar. So I have a different thing. I have a bicycle jersey on. So how would you like to see, oops, I think I'm caught here, me coming into a conference with a bicycle jersey. Now, do I look peculiar? But you know, it's interesting about peculiar. There's always a reason for being peculiar. It's okay, I didn't bring my shorts, so not to be too concerned about that. You think of John the Baptist. Was he peculiar? He was. He lives out in the desert. He eats locusts and honey. He wore camel's hair. He was peculiar because he stood out. The Lord wanted us to stand out for him. But there is another reason for being peculiar. I am dressed right now as a cyclist. Why do you think cyclists dress the way they dress? Is it just so they look different? No? Now, I'm going to turn to one more verse. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And verse 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto good works. Now, here is a furnish, to be perfect. I like Mr. Darby translated a little bit differently. He said, so that you can be complete. And then he used the word fitted. And I thought, wow, that's how, if someone who rides a bike, who's in a race, he wants to be fitted so he can win the race or he can ride better. How do you get fitted? Why do you fit yourself accordingly? So how many of you ride bikes? You want to be noticed on the road, don't you? So you want to put on something fitted to be more peculiar. This way people can see you from a long distance. Do we let people know that we fitted with the word of God? Because we want to be complete in God's sight. And we want to be able to proclaim the gospel of his grace. Now, here's something interesting about being fitted. When you don't dress like everyone else, you worry. And a few weeks ago, we went for a bike ride. And I dressed in this outfit along with my shorts. And we thought we'd stop for lunch first. And my wife said, are you going to change? I go, no. I said, they're going to serve us. They know we're cyclists, right? So you need to be fitted, in our case, the word of God. Now, if you were to ride your bike, you get to be fitted with many things. Not only other clothes, right? Some of you may put on a light so that people can tell you are coming, right? So you're fitting yourself. I'm blinding some people, I guess. And we are reminded, too, that we are the light of this world, are we? Are we to be fitted with a light? Now, sometimes we're fitted with the wrong light. So have you noticed I have a red light on this helmet? Can you see that? What does that light mean? What does it mean? Yeah, it's saying, hey, I'm here. Back off. Don't hit me. I don't want you to come close. Oh, do we do that? So we have to be careful of how, what are we fitting ourselves with? Is it something that we can tell others of who we are and what we do for the word of God? Now, I'll share with you something else. It's interesting. Now, I hope there are not other cyclists here because I don't really know a whole lot about this. And I'm just going to share with you a little bit I know. Now, you'll find a lot of cyclists do this. They buy bicycle shoes. And I know many of you go, I don't wear bicycle shoes. I just jump on with my running shoes, right? Nothing wrong with that. But you're not fitted for efficiency. Now, take a look at this shoe. What do you notice? Notice anything different? Is it different? Is it a pair of running shoes? What do you notice different?
There's like a metal piece in the bottom.
Oh. How many of you could put metal piece on your shoes? I know some of you would like to at a conference so you can tap and people would notice it, right? So he noticed there's a metal piece on the bottom of the shoes. Did you notice anything else? Nice color, isn't it? I know some of us buy shoes for the colors. Now, I'll show you something that's interesting. See this shoe doesn't flex? You buy shoes that don't flex? It's not very comfortable, is it? It doesn't flex, right? You try flexing it. Does it flex? The sole is as stiff as it can be. That's because a cyclist wants to be fitted for riding and not for walking. Can you imagine walking with a piece of metal on the bottom, and every place you go, you hear go tap, tap, tap? That's not nice. But yet when you're pedaling, you don't want your feet to be flexing up and down. So you want it to be stiff. Now, oh, and you mentioned there's a piece of metal down here. Now, this is interesting. You know that? This piece of metal is called SPD. There's a company called Shimano. This is called Shimano Paddling Dynamics. There, I just told you. What does that mean? Right? What it means is it locks your feet to the pedal. Can you imagine your feet locked to the pedal? Now you have more efficiency. You don't lose by slipping. It's fitted for that. Now, let me tell you something interesting, too, when you fit it for special thing. How many of you have ride your bike, come to a stop, stick your foot out and stop, and that's okay? How many have fallen off a bike? Now, can you picture this? I strap your feet to the pedal. Now you come to a stop. You can't get the feet off the pedal. What happened? You fall over. That's right. So here people will go, you're fitted for speed, for efficiency. But if you don't learn it properly, the first time you come to a stop, you go, uh-oh, I can't get my feet out. And it's the funniest thing for anyone else watching that you stop. And I'll tell you this, it's the funniest for you too, because your fall becomes the slowest motion, because you can remember every bit of it as you're leaning over, and there is nothing you can do as you fall. But that's okay, because we find when we learn and study from the Word of God, we try to be fitted for His work, and sometimes we fall and we fail, don't we? We go tell someone the gospel of God's grace, and he come back with a question that we go, oh, I don't know how to answer that. It's okay, isn't it? Sometimes we need to fall a few times, and then we learned. We learned. I'll tell you, the first week I fell 3 times on the bike. And I remember my wife said to me, aren't you going to stop using it? No. And then when you get better at it, then you don't fall as often. And then you get better and better at it. So the Word of God says here that we are to be fitted so that we can be complete to do good works. So the two words I want you to remember that we just talked about. Two words. Let's see if you can remember it. The first word is that, or maybe the first one is two words by itself. We are peculiar people. The second word is, we are fitted. Now, if you would like to use the King James translation, which is very good, is furnished. But I like fitted, because then you can picture you're outfitting yourself, that you do things so that it's specifically for that purpose. I mean, here, let me show you something else too. See any pockets here? Where are your pockets? You know where my pockets are? I don't have it. Here's my pocket. It's in the back. Because when you're riding a bike, you don't want things on your side, because you're leaning over. So this is fitted just for that. Isn't that interesting? So we need to be fitted. What are the two words that we want to be reminded of? Okay, I'm picking favor here. Peculiar what? We're peculiar people. And what's the second one? Fitted. Yeah, we dress accordingly, and not to be afraid. You know, it's funny. I spoke on this, and I used this example a few weeks ago at Monroe's conference, and a brother came to me. He said, I just came back from Amsterdam. He said, if you were there with this outfit, you would look normal. They all cycle over there. So we, among ourselves as Christians, when we come to a conference, what do? We talk like we're Christians. We act like we're Christians. We put on fitting ourselves like we are Christians. And then in a day or two, we go home. We'll go back to work. We'll go back to school. What do? We quickly take our outfit off so nobody knows. Am I right in saying that? And, you know, the most difficult, and perhaps you children are still young, and I see some older one, perhaps they'll agree with me. The most difficult way to live is to live two lives. You will have conflict within yourselves. Do you want to be known as a Christian, as one who loved the Lord Jesus Christ? And the word of God said, by the fruit ye shall know him. Or do you want to live two lives that when you come to a conference, you look so nice, you're able to quote scriptures and talk like you're holy? The Lord knows the hearts. So remember, children, and older children too, that we are peculiar people before God. Why are we peculiar? In the book of Peter, I think Mr. Darby changed that word. We are people of possession. We are his. Now let's go back to read that same verse again as a reminder. Let's go back to Titus chapter 3. So we are peculiar because of this. We have something no one else has. I look peculiar to you right now because I have a helmet that you don't have. I have a helmet that even blink with a flashing light that you don't have. But what do we have as Christians? Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You go to school and you talk to your friends. How many of them can say they have a blessed hope? This world, the word of God said, like we at once were, without God, without hope. We have a blessed hope. And we're waiting for his appearing. And then it said, who gave himself for us? You know that, don't you? That Jesus died for you. And he gave himself for you. Why did he do that? He did it because this tells us to redeem us unto himself. To redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. Oh, that's what he wants you and I to be. And he did finish the work already. And that we are his. And we're going to be complete before God. Okay, we have a few more minutes that we can sing a couple more hymns. Who has another hymn that they would like to sing? Okay. Hymn number 44. Okay, can we sing the first and last verse as well? Is that okay? All right, hymn number 44. Into a tent where a gypsy boy lay, lying alone at the close of the day. News of salvation we carry, said he. Nobody ever has told it to me. Let's have another one. No, you gave one already. Okay. 46. Ah, spelling hymn. And I saw a hand that you can pick the next one. Okay. Glad T-I-D-I-N-G-S-I-D-R-I-N-G. He had a number. What is it? I'm sorry. Number?
Number
18. Okay. Perhaps we'll sing the first verse due to time here. Number 18. Perhaps someone can raise the tune, please. Talked about two words. How many remember where they were? What were? Oh, hold on a second. What were the two words?
Peculiar people and fitted.
And fitted. Very good. Somebody's listening. I'm glad. Oh, you want to say it? You have your hand up? Okay, hold on. Peculiar.
Peculiar.
And fitted.
Fitted.
Very good. So now we can go out there and let people know we are peculiar people because He loved us and we belong not to this world, but the world to come. Let's close our eyes and we'll give thanks.